Praise God. Thank you so much for the reading. Good morning, church. How are we doing? I am so happy to be here. My name is Yunia, and I am so blessed to be here. I just want to thank God, firstly, King Jesus, for allowing me to be here and allowing you to be here. It is a blessing to be alive today, right? Yes. And I want to thank God for the leadership of this church, for giving me the opportunity to come here and share from God's word. I'm from Africa, as you can see, in a very small country called Burundi. Well, today I'm not going to share my testimony, but my testimony is very amazing. It's really all about God serving his people and serving me. Just a little bit so that you know, I left my country when I was 6 years old because of a civil war that was taking place in my country. And during that time, I separated with my family, my mom and dad. And by God's grace, Ali, I found myself in the refugee camp where my family and I lived for 13 years. From there, we came here to Australia. How quick was that? That's my testament that I can tell for like the whole day. We just did it for 30 seconds. How awesome was that? But that's my background in summary. And after arriving here in Australia, by God's grace, when I was in the refugee camp, there was a time where I was tired of life. I said, God, if by any chance you perform a miracle and you bless myself and my parents and you take us out of this horrific place to a better place, I will serve you. I was a child. I didn't know what I was talking about. But you know what? Sometimes God will put his words in our mouth because of the place where he's leading us. I didn't know that God had a plan, but we came to Australia. And when I arrived here in Australia, those words kept ringing. Remember the promise of God? Remember how you promised God that you will serve him? And I didn't know how to serve him. I didn't know where to start from. Firstly, I couldn't even speak English. So how do I serve God? I needed an interpreter for me everywhere I went. So anyway, God always has a plan and he never makes a mistake. It doesn't matter where you are, God is able to turn your situation around and make things possible. He is the God of the impossible. So he had to make sure that I come to where I am today. So anyway, long story short, a few years ago, about 4 years ago, I decided to go to college and I did a Master's of Divinity because I wanted to serve God. And it was there that my professor who taught me preaching said to me after I delivered my first in-class sermon that, Yunia, I think you need to pursue preaching. And I was like, because I never saw myself as a preacher. And he said to me that I needed to pursue preaching. Not long after, there's a church that sent through an email to my college asking for students who wanted to go and practice preaching in the church. And my professor came to me and said, Yunia, you need to apply. I said, okay. I applied. I said, God, if you really want us to do this, okay, you're going to make it happen. And then I was the one approved in that class to go and preach. And after I preached in that church, it turns out I didn't think it was a nice message at all. I mean, it's my first time. I was like, God, whatever. But the church was blessed. And they said, can you come back? We want you to come back. I was like, are you for real? Really? You want me back? They said, we want you back. I went back and somehow the word went around and some other churches heard about me. And then I found myself preaching. And now I'm pretty much like every Sunday I'm traveling preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't he amazing? He's a good father. He makes things happen. He's amazing. Well, today we are going to be talking about the supremacy of God in stillness. Actually, this message is inspired by John Piper. Anyone knows John Piper? Yeah. John Piper is a preacher, of course, of God's Word. And he wrote a book named The Supremacy of God in Preaching. And after I read that book, my life was changed. He speaks about how preaching is not about me coming here and telling you what to do. When I come here, it's not so much about, hey, you need to start doing this and this and this and that. It's my responsibility and my duty to pretty much open this amazing book of the glorious of God, the beauty of God, the supremacy of God. And I want you to look into the book and you're like, wow, God. So I am hoping today, by the end of this message, you will be like, wow, God. Do you think you're going to be, wow, God? So last week, I believe that we celebrated Pentecostal Sunday, right? It was a Pentecostal Sunday, and it was fabulous. Everyone was enjoying, yeah, the Holy Spirit. You know, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, He comes. He loves it when we talk about Him. And today, we are going to see how we can connect this message, Psalms 46, to the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost. And we are only going to focus on verse 10, okay? So Pentecost marks the day of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples. We read that in Acts chapter 2. It is the birth of the church. When God's power filled His people, equipping them to speak boldly and witnessing for Him fearlessly and transforming nations. It was a beautiful day. Very beautiful day indeed. So you may ask yourself, how is that message going to connect with be still and know that I am God? Well, we will see how we can connect this. So Psalms 46, as our sister and friend, what else? Anyone's auntie here? For the Africans, we say everyone is auntie. So as my auntie has already read, Psalms 46 is a psalm of the sons of Korah. It's a song of confidence, often called a psalm of Zion, celebrating God's presence with His people and His power over chaos. It's a beautiful thing today that we can remind ourselves that God is sovereign and He has power over every chaotic situation. So we are not going to read again because she's already read the scripture for us. But verse 1 to 3 speaks of God as a refuge amidst of disasters. If you live here in Brisbane, of course you know. Well, if you live in Australia, are you in Australia? If you live in Australia, then you know that there's so many disasters that have happened. The fire, the coronavirus, all these. What else have we had so far? Floods. There's the recent one. Which one was it? The cyclone, all these things. Sometimes we feel like, God, where are you? Sometimes when you watch it on the TV and you are not affected, you actually don't understand how severe these things are and how bad. But when it hits you, your home or the people you know, then you begin questioning God and you say, God, where are you? But today in this psalm, we actually come to understand that He is sovereign over every kind of disaster. He's amazing. Verse 4 to 7 describes a calm river in the city of God, Jerusalem, which symbolizes peace in His presence. And verse 8 to 11 moves from reassurance to invitation. Come and see what the Lord has done. And then verse 10, our verse for today, God himself comes in and he says, be still and know that I am God. In the midst of disasters, coronavirus, the cyclone, the bushfires, the what else you can name it, he says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And then he goes on to say, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So let's talk about be still. Be still is actually a word coming from the Hebrew word rapha, meaning to cease striving, to let go, to stop fighting. It's not just a physical stillness, but a spiritual surrender. So God is not saying, be still, in other words, stand and do nothing. No, but it's a spiritual surrender. When something happens, the first thing that we want to do is to fight, to do everything possible in our own power. There is a saying in my native language, Kirundi, it says, God helps those who help themselves. And sometimes we are caught up into this, God helps those who help themselves. And it's true that we don't need to stand and do nothing, but truly, God wants us to surrender. He wants us to say, God, I cannot do this. I am your baby. You're my father. I know you are able. But you know what? I'm going to read your word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship you. And I am going to serve your people. I am going to do everything that I can do and let you do what you can do. Lord, I am powerless in this situation, but I trust you. So being still is really a radical trust, because sometimes you just want to jump in and try to figure out ways of doing things. In the context of this scripture, this stillness is set against the backdrop of the chaos, things that were happening. Nations in uproar, kingdoms falling. That's in verse 6. God breaks the bow, shatters the spears. In verse 9, he stops wars. Ooh, I want this God. I want this God who is able to do all these things. I don't want a weak God who cannot do nothing. Like those gods who have eyes but cannot see, have ears but cannot hear, feet they have but they cannot walk. I want the real God who comes in and he actions. I want this God and I love him. In the middle of all of these chaotic situations, he says, hey, my daughter, my son, stop. Let it go. I am God. Remember, you're not God? Oh, okay, God, I thought I was God. He says, remember, you're not God. I am God. On the day of Pentecost, before there was a fire, there was a stillness. Before the Holy Spirit came, the disciples were together waiting patiently. They were in the upper room, not rushing, not trying to strive for the power to come so that they can do miracles, but being still, waiting in obedience and expectation. That's what they were doing. So being still means that we also are expectant. We are not just praying and seeking God, and we are not expecting things to change. We have to expect things to change. And we have to be looking around, because you never know where God is going to come, whether it's through this corner, or there, or there. So you better be watchful. And when he sees that we are actually expecting, we are patiently waiting, but we are expecting, we are observing things, the way things are happening, looking where he might be coming through, you know, then he's going to come through. He's going to do something. But we have to be expectant. sometimes God fills the still before He sends a fire. Before the Holy Spirit comes, He wants us to be still. Before a miracle takes place, He wants you to be still. He wants us to be still. He says, know that I am God. In other words, that's the reason why you can be still. Because I am God. But do you know that He is God? Do we know that He is God? It comes from the word yada, know that I am God. This is not head knowledge. And when I was studying the scripture, I was like, wow, God. Remember, we have to be like, wow, God. It's not head knowledge. This is experiential. This is revelation. Because when we study about God and He gives us the knowledge of who He is, ooh, I'm telling you. So He wants us to know that He is God, not just a head knowledge, but a revelation that is given by Him. So this means that we have to read the scripture and understand who God is and seek for the revelation of God. We want so many things in life, of course. I want so many things. I don't know about you. I can write a long list of things that I need. But we need even more the revelation of God. Because we need to know God. He says, I am God. So who is God? Know that I am God. It's the deep knowledge that comes through a revelation. And this is not a suggestion. It's a command from God. Every one of us who has decided to follow Jesus, we need to know who is God. What is He capable of doing? Where is He taking me? What is He doing with my life? True power comes from knowing God. Be still and know. It means stop striving and trust the sovereignty of God. On that Pentecostal Sunday, it wasn't so much about the effort of the disciples. It wasn't so much about what they were doing. It was so much about the timing of God. Them waiting in the presence of God and God coming at His time. And He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, look at, even though I didn't tell you my entire story about God's grace in my life, how He brought me here where I am today. But is He not being exalted right now? I left my country when I was 60 because of a civil war. Many people died. Over 350 people during that period of that civil war, 350,000 people died. I am alive. My sister and I was 60. She was 4 years old with our mom and dad because we were separated from our parents. We slept outside not having mommy or daddy. You can imagine the pain, the trauma that my parents were going through not having their kids, not knowing where they are for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. If you were to ask mom, maybe she was like, God, you don't exist. How could you do this to me? I love you. Because my mother is a very strong, prayerful woman. She loves the Lord. She is always fasting and praying. So if anything could happen to anybody, not my mom. But then it happened to her. So at that time, it was all negative. Nothing good was pretty much coming out. Nothing good was happening. But then God kept us safe. And now I'm here. I'm telling you the story. Is He not being exalted among the nations? How many nations do we have here? I'm sure we have more than one. We certainly have Aussies here. But I'm sure we have other people who come from different nations. He's being exalted. And now all the glory is coming back to Him. And he says, in that situation, I know how I'm going to make myself, how I'm going to be glorified. Nations will be glorified. We don't know how he does it, but he knows how he does it. And that's why we have to trust him. It's all about God. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Habakkuk 2 verse 20 says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And I said to myself, Yunia, you are the temple of God. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is in you. Be silent. Know that he is God. Be silent before him. Let him do what he wills in your life. The same with us, everyone here. He says, I am here. I am here. I'm in you and you are in me. Be silent. Be still. It's okay. It's good to be hurt. It's okay to cry sometimes. It's okay. It's not weakness to cry and to cry to God and say, God, I'm tired. It's okay. You know, sometimes after crying, you feel better. I love crying. I can actually say I enjoy crying sometimes. After crying, I just start laughing. What was that again? Why were you crying? The Holy Spirit hits me and I'm just enjoying the presence of Jesus. Isn't he awesome? Yeah. Exodus 14 verse 13 to 14. We all know the story of the children of Israel. How they struggled. They struggled to the point where they said, Moses, take us back to Egypt. We're tired. We can't have this anymore. But the Lord brought a word to them through Moses. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. But we want it now. We want it now. We want God to come now and fight. God, don't wait for tomorrow. It's an emergency. Anyone having emergency problems, situations? You're like, God, how long? It's an emergency. I once said that we live in a microwave world where we want everything to be fast. And after delivering that message, one of the church members in that church came back to me and said, everything was true except that phrase you mentioned. We have moved from microwave to drive-through. So microwave takes a long time these days. We don't even want to use the microwave. We just want to drive through. But there is no drive through with God. God, can you just give us a drive through, please? The Lord will fight for us. He is with us. He is among his people. Mark 4:39. Jesus calms the storm in this scripture. And he says, be still. Peace, be still. Even the wind and the waves obey Jesus. And so, when we read in the Old Testament what God did and what Jesus did in the New Testament, we see that they are not two different beings. This is the same God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. And this is the same God, Jesus Christ, who came into the flesh. And he still performs the same miracles. Woo! I feel like a miracle right now. Wow, Jesus. He is amazing. Psalms 46 verse 10 is not a call to do nothing. It's a call to trust radically in God who does everything. Today when you leave this place, you can be assured, be reminded that God does everything. And he is a God of new beginnings. We are going to have a new pastor from next week, right? Well, it's possible that someone could be like, God thinks got to be with a new pastor. Am I going to like him? Is he going to be nice? There's so many things. Because we don't like change. Sometimes we can be so comfortable that we don't want change. But we can be still and know that God is bringing something beautiful, something new. We are going to be blessed. The church is going to be blessed. But we just want to know. Right now, you know, some of you might have some images in your head right now, making some movies of the church, how it's going to be moving from this year to next year with a new pastor. Maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong, because God is going to shift things. He's going to do things differently. And it's possible to be like, this shouldn't be happening this way. But God is the God of new beginnings. And He does all things perfectly. On time. He's always on time. He's never late. I love this God. Do you love Him? Yes. So stillness is not a weakness, as we mentioned. It's a surrender. The stillness of faith positions us for the outpouring of power. When we are still before God, we can hear Him clearly. We can receive instructions from Him. And we can move boldly to where He's leading us. So now, let's seek the knowledge of God, knowing God, and always listen to His voice, so that when He speaks, we will be able to hear and act accordingly. Because remember, we have to expect things to happen. But we have to be watching and listening at the same time. Oh, that was my last slide, I guess. Wow, praise God. We are there. Yay! Praise the Lord. Isn't He wonderful? He loves us so much. And He is in this place. I just love this church already. I love the worship. That was so beautiful. Oh my goodness. Everyone is alive. The Spirit of God lives here. I think, God, should we move here? Maybe I should move somewhere nearby so I can be attending the church. So beautiful. I'm going to ask you to stand up so that I can pray for us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's so good. He's so good. Thank you, wonderful Jesus. We love you so much. We thank you for your grace and love. We thank you for your presence. We thank you because you are in our midst this morning. We thank you because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you because you love each one of us and you have good plans for each one of us. And Father, we thank you for your word this morning, that we can be still in your presence, that we can study your word and desire the revelation of who you are, and that you will speak to us, that it's your pleasure to make yourself known to each one of us, Lord. We know that there is power in revelation, and even now, Father, we just ask that you give a revelation to every person in this room. We want to know you more. We want to know your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to know the power of resurrection, and we want to walk in your power. We want to walk in your freedom. We want to walk in the knowledge of who you are. We want to walk in the truth. Father, we just ask for the truth this morning, because it is only the truth that will set us free. It is only the truth that will set our family members free, our children, our wives, husbands, our friends, our schoolmates, our nation. The truth sets us free. And this morning, Father, we just pray and ask for that boldness to go out there and share the gospel, even when we are hurting, even when we are suffering, that we will be bold to share the gospel and share our testimonies and watch your Holy Spirit moving in the name of Jesus. This morning, Father, We choose the knowledge of God. This morning we choose you. This morning we choose to obey you. This morning we choose the revelation of who you are. And this morning, Father, we choose obedience. We choose the voice of God. We choose to hear your voice and we choose obedience. We choose to be still and we choose to make you known around the nations, among the nations, in the earth. We thank you, Lord, for you are good. You are good. You are good today and forevermore. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, and all the saints of the Most High God, say amen. 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 God bless you, everyone.